Let Go My Hand by Edward Docks, read by Daniel Wayman. My brothers and I have always been close, which is surprising since I'm also the living embodiment of all their trouble with Dad, and, indeed, all the trouble that has happened between everyone. Now I think about it, I suppose the gap between us is so big, 11 years, that maybe it goes all the way past mattering and comes back around to not mattering again. They used to pretend that I was a musketeer, the same as them, and they'd say, all for one and one for all, do, mainly to make me feel I was big when I was little, but also because we were in it together. I now see that, subconsciously, what we meant by it was our father. When I was born, my brothers were living with Dad because of their mother's alcohol-related issues, the screaming and the subsequent solicitor-related stuff. So I've never known it any other way. They've always been my full brothers. And what with all the toddler sitting they had to do when my mum and dad were out, which was a lot, they fell into the habit of looking after me, stopping me choking and falling down the stairs and playing with kebab skewers, all of that. They did a lot of teaching me, too, whenever they came back from college, taking me out on my bike, showing me how to light fires, introducing me to real music. And over time, I guess I developed this strange way of doing things with them, for them. Especially Ralph. Not in terms of what was happening in our lives day to day, but more in the way that whenever he wanted to kick back or show off or stretch his personality, he knew I'd be right there. The world's most eager audience, devoted, amazed, without any other judgment but admiration. Likewise, whenever I did anything, a clever message straight back to some girl, learning how to do bar chords on the guitar, I would have him in my mind, giving me the nod with a big brother's nice one, Lou, expression, keep going. There was this one time, I remember, I was 14 and he was in his middle 20s, busy being an out-of-work actor, and he had come over for my dad's 60th with some Sami Swedish fashion student who he was dating and who had everyone secretly crying into their hands on account of her ludicrous beauty. This was before Mum even knew she was ill, and the house was full of Dad's Labour Party, We're the Coolest Government Ever people, whom he joked about as betrayers, and all these folk that Mum always knew, unrecordable singer-songwriters, unproducible screenwriters, unreadable poets. Everyone in London who never made it, she would say, and who are never gonna make it, Lou, due to the climate. And I was supposed to be reading this poem that Mum wrote for Dad, but I'd left it upstairs, and so I went up to fetch it in order to practice, because I was feeling secretly frantic with nerves. But just as I got to the door, at the end of our narrow attic corridor, I heard a woman's voice saying, "Don't stop! Don't stop! Don't stop!" And since this was my first time hearing this stuff live, I hesitated and tuned in. The problem was that the floorboards in our house groan and creak, and 2 seconds later I knew I was busted because the room had gone silent. And that forced me into having to pretend that I'd only just come running up through the house and that I hadn't been eavesdropping at all. So the only thing to do next was to knock on the door nice and loud and rat-a-tat-tat. "Ralph, I need to get something," I shouted. "And you need to come down. I'm doing Mum's poem and Dad's giving a speech." Sounds of stalled exertion. "Ralph?"